Welcome to the Keto Lifestyle Podcast, hosted by nutritional coach Jessica Tai, where we are dedicated to promoting health and overall well-being through nutrition, specifically the ketogenic diet. We will provide you with all the latest science in nutrition, interviews with experts in the health and wellness field, and answer all your burning questions so you can find optimal health. This podcast is not intended to be used as medical advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your doctor with any and all medical questions. Now here's Jessica.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode number 94 of the Keto Lifestyle Podcast. Hello, I am your host, Jessica Tai, nutritional therapy practitioner. And as always, you know what I'm going to say. I am happy to be over here with you guys today. And I really am. I really am happy to be here with you. I'm happy to be doing this. I just feel so grateful that I'm able to continue to do this and I've got some awesome interviews to keep sharing with you guys. And today is no exception. I've got a really great guest on here. Debbie Potts is my guest. I think you're going to get some really great information from her. She is the host of the Whole Athlete podcast, and she has a whole bunch of letters after her name. She does all kinds of things. She is a nutritional therapy practitioner, so an NTP like myself. And she's also going through, right now, she's currently studying for her FDN, which is a functional diagnostic nutritionist. And she does all kinds of awesome things. So you're going to learn all about her, and I'm going to tell you all about her bio here in just a minute. So even if you're not an athlete, if you don't fancy yourself an athlete, if you don't think you need to be an athlete, doesn't matter. She has a lot of really great information for everybody out there. So I think do not discount this episode. You're going to really enjoy it. Debbie is just a wealth of knowledge. She's super fun. I met her on the low carb cruise, and she's just an awesome gal. So I hope that you will stay tuned for that. But before I get into the interview with Debbie, I wanted to take just a minute to let y'all know. I think I talked about this on the last podcast episode, but honestly, I just can't remember. There's so much stuff going on in the background right now in regards to my business and like all these new things we're implementing. And so things start running together and I kind of forget what I talked to you guys about and what I didn't. But anyway, regardless, if you go to my website, you can now order my keto recipe collection. So it's pretty exciting. I'm happy to do this and so happy to be able to offer it to you guys. So it is available right now for only $9.99. And if you go on my website, jessicatai.com, you can click on the link and it will email you this. It's a PDF that I'll email you immediately. It's a beautiful PDF that I had designed. It's gorgeous. So hopefully you will enjoy that. There are a ton of great recipes in there. And when you go to my website, you can kind of scroll through. I had her list all of the recipes that are in there for you. So you can see, you know, kind of what's in there. And if anything tickles your fancy, I'll tell you that every recipe in there, is tried and true. They're recipes that we have used in this house over and over and over for since I was keto. Most of them are the same ones that I've been using the entire like 2.5 years I've been keto. But they are really great. They're not complicated recipes. They're not like you need to go out and buy a whole bunch of things that you don't know what they are. Most of them are actually recipes that I have taken from dishes that I used to make for my family over the years, and then I've kind of ketoified them and put a different spin on them to make them fit our lifestyle. Like one of my very favorite recipes in the collection is a white chicken enchilada meal. And I don't know about you guys, but prior to being keto, that was one of my absolute favorite things in the world. It's, you would take tortillas and you wrap the chicken, shredded chicken in the tortillas with cheese. And then you make this like cream sauce, this white cream sauce that gets put on top of the enchiladas and the casserole dish, and then it gets baked in the oven. And overall, it's a pretty easy dish to make, and it's awesome because it can be made ahead of time as well. Like I would often make it the night before, and then when I got home that day, from work, I would just be able to throw it in the oven and we'd have this awesome meal that, you know, looks like I slaved in the kitchen for hours. So that is one of my favorites. And the bonus is with that recipe, one of the things I love is I use rotisserie chicken when I make that recipe. And so I would take all the chicken meat off of the chicken carcass, and then I would keep that chicken carcass to make my bone broth. So I loved it because it's like a 1-2 punch with that recipe. And it just was so good. It was a huge hit for all of us. We loved it so much. You know, we'd make rice on the side, and it was just so good. And now I make that same recipe, but I have added a keto twist to it. So I no longer use tortillas, and you will have to get the book to see what is used. But they are phenomenal. I love them as much, maybe more than we ever liked them before. And instead of putting them on a bed of rice, you can put them on cauliflower rice if you need a side. I mean, this meal is so filling, you don't need anything with it. But my favorite way to do it is I will actually put them on a bed of shredded lettuce, like shredded romaine. And oh my gosh, that's so good. I'll put pico de gallo on there and some guacamole or just sliced avocado. I've posted about this meal on my Instagram before, and it is so phenomenal. And I've started, and this little tweak is in the recipe as well, but I started making my husband and my kids like one with chicken, and then I make myself a smaller casserole with shrimp. So I do shrimp white enchiladas, and my oldest son loves shrimp as well. So, oh my gosh, it is so good. Like, I can't even tell you guys, and it's so easy. Like, it is such an easy meal. So anyway, that's just like one thing that I did that's in there, but there's all kinds of recipes like that that you'll recognize as things that you and your family have eaten in the past, like pizza and different spaghetti dishes and lasagna and things like that. Stews and, you know, how you can make those types of things. So that's that kind of fun stuff that you have enjoyed with your family in the past and that you can still enjoy because I give you some ideas and tips and ways to make these things keto or low carb and make them work for your new lifestyle. So you don't have to like go try to recreate the wheel, right? You're just making something that you guys are already familiar with just one or two little tweaks to get the carbs out of there or get the carb count lower and hopefully up your good fats and proteins. So it's just overall a healthier way to eat. So hopefully you guys will be able to use this and enjoy that, you know, as a mom of five and a working mom and, you know, all these, you know, as a business owner and kind of all the stuff that I have constantly going on with my kids and our family, our lifestyle. I can tell you that all of these recipes work very well for us, and it's just, they've been super easy for us and just worked super well for our family. So I was really excited to be able to offer that to you guys. Okay, so enough about that. And then just make sure you keep an eye out for my classes that are available. I know I keep getting so many emails, which is great. I love that you guys are looking for this and that you want this, and I am so happy to be able to provide it for you. But I keep getting a bunch of emails about classes and when is the next class and that you missed the last class and you want to get signed up. And unfortunately, I'm not doing a live class again right now. There's not one scheduled, but I am in the middle of recording all of the sessions for the optimizing and understanding and optimizing keto course that I did do as a live class a couple of months ago. And so I am going to have a recorded version of that available for purchase on my website. And I hope to have that wrapped up this week. So hopefully it will be available in the next week to 2 weeks on the website. So you can go and just kind of keep an eye on that. And of course, I'll make an announcement about it on social media and here on the podcast. So if you don't already follow me on Instagram and Facebook, go ahead and shoot over there and follow me there so you can be the first to know when that becomes available. I am on Instagram at That Keto Blonde, and then on Facebook, it's facebook.com/JessicaTighNutrition, and you can follow me there and get all of that information. So for today's guest, I want to go ahead and share with you guys her bio so you can get to know a little bit more about her before the interview. And then I just want to get right into the interview. So let me go ahead and introduce Debbie. So Debbie Potts has been in the fitness industry for over 25 years and a competitive endurance athlete for 20 years. Along her journey, she's accomplished many goals, including being nominated as one of the top 100 best trainers in the U.S. by Men's Journal in 2004 and 2005, as well as participating in 15 Ironman triathlons. Five of them were the Hawaii World Ironman Championship. That's impressive. Debbie has owned and operated her own fitness studio in Bellevue, Washington for 12 years to offer an all-in-one health and fitness studio, including the Holistic Method coaching programs and individualized nutritional therapy services to transform the whole person from the inside out. Debbie has played various roles in the fitness industry for the past 25 years in Bellevue, including fitness management, top personal trainer, group and small personal training, cycling instructor, yoga, Pilates mat, metabolic efficiency specialist, natural running coach, USAC coach, Czech holistic lifestyle coach, superhuman coach, Keon coach, and a nutritional therapy practitioner. And I told you guys she is soon to be an FDN, which is a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. She has implemented heart rate training and metabolic efficiency testing into her coaching services for over 15 years. Debbie is a speaker, blogger, podcast host. As I said, she hosts the Whole Athlete podcast and the author of a book, Life is Not a Race, and the Holistic Method Manual and Workbook. Her passion is to help others reduce chronic stress and improve performance with the Holistic Method elements while teaching clients how to burn fat, optimize health, and improve their overall performance in life and sports. Clients get results in less time with her time-efficient total body workouts, nutritional, functional lab testing, clinical correlations, fat-adapted programs, and lifestyle coaching. Debbie is on a mission to help other athletes avoid breaking down and burning out by coaching the whole athlete from the inside out for improved performance and longevity. She also offers group and individual coaching services via her website, which is debbiepotts.net. And I will put links to that in all her podcasts and her Instagram and Pinterest and Twitter and everything else in the show notes. So without further ado, let's welcome Debbie to the show. All right. So I want to welcome to the Keto Lifestyle Podcast today, Debbie Potts, who is the creator of the Holistic Method and the host of the Whole Athlete Podcast. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, Jessica. I am great. I'm happy to finally connect with you.
Yes. Awesome. So it has been a little while. It feels like sometimes I think it feels like it was a really long time ago. And then other times I feel like it was just yesterday that we were on the low carb cruise together. That was a great time, but I was really glad to get to hang out with you and get to know you a little bit better on the low carb cruise. So I'm excited to share you with my listeners today on the podcast. So can you tell them a little bit about you and kind of what you're into and kind of what led you to this keto space?
Well, I come back from a personal trainer background for 25, well, I keep saying 25, so I'm getting older. So it's been more than 25 years as a personal trainer. And I started getting into health coaching and, you know, nutritional therapy practitioners yourself and, you know, different courses I've done over the years. And I think a lot of it's just my own passion and interest. Based on a personal trainer, you can't really get people fit and healthy and, you know, help them lose fat weight with just training them 2-3 times a week. So that's part of my journey is from a personal trainer perspective, trying to figure out how do I get results and get my clients healthy, burn fat, optimize their health, and improve performance, as I say. Then my other direction is as an endurance athlete. I started doing marathons and triathlons and endurance cycling events. Well, again, I forget how old I am, but it's been over 20 years, since I was in my mid-20s. So that side of it, I became curious about metabolic efficiency and heart rate training, and then about low carb, high fat on my own. Back in 2001, I started doing Ironmans, and that kind of led me down this road where I am today, talking about being a fat adapted athlete, you know, focusing on the low carb ketogenic athlete and just teaching people for performance and longevity for endurance athletes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I love that you're also an NTP. So I feel like I'm in good company, and you are also currently getting certification as an FDN, correct?
Yeah. It's a lot of work because it's on your own. You know, nutritional therapy really appreciated our program because we had classes, you know, yes. We had our weekends, we had our one group we were with. Well, FDN, I love to do functional labs is the main goal for me to add this course onto my program coaching services I'll be offering, but it's self-paced and, you know, you have all these practicals and case studies and stuff. So it's not having that same group feeling that we did nutritional therapy with 25 other people. You're on your own. So it's been kind of a struggle a little bit to keep on task, but yeah, I'll finish that in another month. I've finished everything. I just have case studies to do with my fake clients.
That's always fun, right? The fake clients.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I love that aspect. And I have considered that as well, just because you will be able to do those different labs, which I think is really awesome.
Yes. And my background for my own personal journey is with chronic stress, chronic fatigue. And what we do in FDN practitioner kind of overlaps with my own journey and nutritional therapy, because FDN practitioner, we talk about being a health detective and resolving metabolic chaos, which is coming from HPA dysregulation, which comes from internal and external hidden stressors we can dive into, but it's what happened to me. And I wrote a book, Life is Not a Race, about it, and just kind of feel more passion and purpose that this happened to me. Now it's my goal to help other people avoid going through what I did. So doing the FDN practitioner kind of overlaps with nutritional therapy, that then we can order these, you know, we start with 5 main functional labs that we can clinically correlate the results. Mm-hmm. And then I can overlap that with genetics and then the nutritional therapy work. So it'll be really exciting.
That's great. So that's kind of a good segue into what I want to ask you about anyway, which is kind of, I know that you are moving into that direction of doing more of working as like a healing and a rebuilding practitioner, kind of moving your current practice into that direction. So talk to me a little bit more about what it is exactly that, I know you're talking about the HPA axis, and a lot of people hear stress or they're like, oh, I'm so stressed out and I feel so exhausted, and they think adrenal fatigue, right? Like we hear that term all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but I think I like the approach of like realizing that it is actually stemming from the HPA axis. It may not just be adrenals. You know, you may have some hypothalamus and pituitary going on in there. So kind of talk to us a little bit about what all of this means to you, and like, what is it that you're seeing that you're going to be able to really tackle moving your business into this direction?
Well, I was just trying to pull up this chart, but I think what I talked about on the cruise is, you know, going to your listeners, people doing ketogenic diet. And I keep trying to tell people the main step to get people healthier is to go to a ketogenic diet. We know that. We all talk about it and there's lots of research, but there's what I created is the holistic method, coaching people in these other elements. So for me, the holistic method is 8 elements: nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress, mobility, gut health and digestion, hydration, and happiness, play, being silly, kind of that area is really important. And I think when the HPA axis is dysregulated, that means chronic stress. So I always talk about my book, Life is Not a Race. And when people talk about fatigue or exhaustion, we used to always call it adrenal fatigue. And then the next stage is adrenal exhaustion. Where we found over the years, and right when I was finishing my book, I had to restate everything, is not adrenals, it's coming from above that. So if people aren't familiar, HPA axis is the hypothalamus communicating to the pituitary gland, sending a signal to the adrenal gland to respond to a stress. And that could be a financial stress. It could be, you know, your house is burning down. It could be you have a gut dysbiosis, you know, a parasite living inside of you causing internal stress. So we have all these different sources of stress, but I always think of it as we learn in nutritional therapy, there's that beaker of stress, and there's so much coming from outside and internal stressors that your brain doesn't filter. Oh, this is, you know, Aunt Jo that drives me nuts. This is, I can't pay my bills this month. And this is, I have leaky gut and H. pylori infection. And, you know, I'm having some stool problems, pooping problems, or whatever it might be, that it all comes into one funnel. And I think that's kind of what I love in nutritional therapy. We look at it that way and figuring out, all right, let's work on not just giving us a pill. So many people, as I shared in my book, I went to 10 different doctors trying to get help. And usually traditional medicine, if you go in saying, okay, I'm experiencing a lot of fatigue, I'm gaining a lot of weight, I'm doing low carb. At the time I was doing low carb, high fat, I was doing some fasted workouts back in the day. And it was not the answer I'd get from people would be, here's some anxiety pills, you know, here's some antidepressant. And it wasn't really, no one could really help me. Or if I see a naturopath, even functional medicine doctors, they would take lab tests and treat the results. Mm-hmm. And that is what I really learned and what I love about clinical correlation that we do in FDN is we take 5 labs, take your health history, take your lifestyle, and, you know, I'll go look at people's genetics too, like a DNA fit report or something else, and clinically correlate all that. So I always say it's like a puzzle. We're putting the pieces of the puzzle together and then not treat one thing specific, treat everything all at once. Mm-hmm. So what happened to me is you go to get functional labs or traditional labs and they'll say, this is low, take this pill. This is low, your thyroid, take this, right? So you get all these supplements or medications and it still wasn't helping for me. And I think a lot of times people are struggling with that fatigue and that ability to lose fat weight and just to sleep through the night. And I think we get stuck in that cycle of trial and error. We're trying one thing and then that doesn't work. All right, I'm going to try something else. So I think that's why it's so important to what I say, train and coach the whole athlete, the whole person from the inside out, instead of just, you know, trying different things nonstop.
Yeah, I think that's super important. I think that's I think we've grown up in that though, in this country specifically, as we definitely are treating people as individual systems. You know, it's like if you've got a thyroid issue, great, we've got a thyroid pill for that. If you're having issues with constipation, well, then we got a pill for that too. Like, it's not realizing that these things are connected mm-hmm. and it's a whole person. So I love that you're really looking at that as like the whole person in a very holistic way. I also love that your method that you've created is including, you know, I don't have a method per se like you, but I absolutely, when I'm working with clients, it is never just about, you know, nutritionist is my background, it's my training, but it's never just about nutrition, right? It's it's sleep and it's movement and stress management and all of those things come together to play out in our health and how we're experiencing life. So I think it's really great that you really point to that and you're really working with people in that way.
Well, like you said, you know, the ketogenic lifestyle we talk about in the cruise a lot is people are all trying keto, low carb, high fat, and everyone's doing, you know, a lot of, not everyone, but people we know are kind of doing carnivore. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest area, what I always find is it's not just what you eat, but how you eat and when you eat. And if you're in a stress mode, multitasking, and you're shoveling down your food, inhaling it, not even chewing it, well, it doesn't matter what it is almost. You're still causing dysfunction and adding more stress to your body. And so I think there's so much to look at. People are trying to be fat adapted or, you know, increase their fat loss, that they need to work on what we're doing as health coaches is work on your sleep, work on your stress, work on your mobility drills throughout the day. That, you know, that's what, when I do a 30-day program, as I think you do too, is you implement stuff in there. Oh, sorry, stop eating 3 hours before bed, you know, yes. Do some gratitude, do some sleep hygiene, all these other things. I think everyone's talking about eat more fat, eat more protein, right. But they're forgetting that if you're not managing you, you're going to still have dysfunction in some other way or multiple areas.
Yeah, I think that is so true. I could not be more on board with that. Totally agree. And it's not that I'm immune to that either. And I'm sure you're not either. I mean, we're human and we get wrapped up in this stuff. And, you know, sometimes, well, like last night, I'm on my computer. There was a company that had sent me something. And I wanted to order they had sent me a sample and I wanted to order this. And I was running out of the deadline to do it. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to just get on my computer real quick and order this, right? Well, I'm in bed. Like I'm in bed. And I tell my clients all the time, I want the screens off 2 hours before bed. And here I am literally laying in my bed right before going to sleep with a laptop propped up so I can order this. So I'm doing exactly what I know I'm not supposed to be doing. But I think when you're aware of these things, then you can start working on them and start making the effort to not do these things.
Well, I always call it, what are your areas of opportunity? My client taught me that years ago. It's like, don't say you can't do this, or I'm weak at that, or I suck at that. It's like, here's where my areas of opportunity are to work on. And, you know, pick one or two things, because that's like my biggest priority. Because I tend to go, okay, you know, here's 10, 20 things that to work on, but you have to start, make it simple, because people won't do it, right? If they give them 20 things to work on, all right, I want you to go to bed by this time. I want you to get off your phone, blah, 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 blah. Give them a huge laundry list of stuff to do. And I think I've learned as a health coach that I have to simplify. It's like, all right, let's pick three. What's your top three? We've got this list of 10. Tell me what things that you can commit to and start implementing into your lifestyle today that will create a positive response.
That is a great point too, actually, Debbie. I love that, because any listeners that are listening to this is a huge takeaway, I think, right now. It's a big golden nugget to take, is exactly that. Like, because we read things online, people want to go keto, right? And you're like, oh, okay, this is great. I'm going to do keto. And then immediately they're like, I'm not going to have any alcohol. I'm not having any sugar. I'm going to eat all the fat I can get my hands on. No more carbs. I'm going to start going to bed at this time. I've heard I'm supposed to get in an infrared sauna. Oh, and I'm probably supposed to work out too. And they're like, by the end of the first day, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that you've cut out the one fuel source that you've been giving your body for however long, the carbohydrates. And so now you're hangry and you're frustrated and you're overwhelmed on top of it. And you're just like, I can never stick to this. So I think that is a beautiful way to look at it, is you take two or three things that you think, what do you think you can commit to right now? And make that commitment. Like if it's, I'm going to not consume alcohol and I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock and I'm going to turn screens off an hour before I go to bed. Great. Start there. Week one. There you go. Let's do it.
Because, I know, it has to be sustainable, right?
Right. Because you have to chunk it off. And then you get week one under your belt and you're like, okay, great. I did that. Now, what are the next three things you can chunk off? What do you feel? Because you will feel empowered, right? Like when you can accomplish those little steps, then you feel empowered to do the next things. But if you are like, I'm going to do all of these 10 things right now, you can't. And then you feel like a failure. And then you feel like I'm not cut out for this. I give up.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I would say too, is that you feel that, you know, you're a failure and you quit doing it. And you read those different comments in those Facebook group pages and, you know, you can get sucked into it. And I think it's great to have motivation. Speaking of those Facebook group pages that are out there, that there's like 50 million people in them. And my thing is, N equals one. What someone else did isn't going to work for you. Your genetics, your lifestyle, your stress, and your habit routine are all different than that other person that lost 100 pounds in 2 months. And it drives me nuts. You know, I get started on reading those comments in the different private group pages of, oh, you know, I'm on day two and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just very overwhelming. So I think people, if they're listening and they're reading social media, ketogenic success stories and people's questions, remember everyone's different. And don't get, as we're saying, overwhelmed and quit because it was too much. Just think, like what Jessica's saying, the baby steps, and it has to be sustainable. Yes, you have to be strict in like our 30-day programs. We're both probably similar in how we run them, that you have to build that habit. But then, you know, I think you have to, Vinnie Tortor said years ago, put the life into living, and you have to have that, like, you know, sometimes not be so strict, because that's my area. I grew up dieting since I was in high school. I was so strict, and I think you can't be so strict on what you eat. Once you're fat adapted and you're metabolically flexible, then you can, like, once in a while have a little cheat meal. But I don't think it's setting the bar so high is not a lifestyle. And this is what we want to be, and it's not a diet. So I think that's kind of what I get from reading people's comments. What about you?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel like if you look at this whole ketogenic movement and people say, well, yeah, I want to be ketogenic or I want to be low carb or whatever the thing is. And they're like, but to do that, I need to have 75% this, 20% this, 5% this, and I have to stick to that. And I can't have wine and I can't do this and I can't. And that's, if that's what you need to do, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's probably a place for that, maybe in the beginning when you are becoming fat adapted and you're getting used to this way of eating and you're kind of retraining your taste buds and getting the new enzymatic processes in place to be able to live this way successfully. But I 100% agree with you that I am not keto 100% of the time. I mean, I'm just not. Like, this is a lifestyle for me. Like, I just live life. I'm not going to stress out about, you know, whatever it is, like, that I can't, we're going somewhere and I can't have anything because I just won't eat any of that. Now, there are some things that I will say, you know, I just don't do that. I don't eat that. I don't participate in that, whatever. Like, I have some stops. But again, like you were saying, I think that is so individual. So what my stops are, what my non-negotiables are, aren't necessarily going to be yours. So we all have to figure out what that is for ourselves and what works best for us.
Mm-hmm. And I know if I have any carbohydrates or refined sugars, I don't feel good. So those are my non-negotiables. Like, I know I'm not going to feel good and I won't be able to sleep and I'll have a stomach ache. So there's certain things like I don't have, and I feel better staying on more low carb, high fat, ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. And that's how I operate. So to me, I think I've done it for so long, I don't remember how I started, but it just is what makes you feel good. And once you get to that point, it's not a diet. And that's the word I think that bothers me, is people try to do it as a diet. And it's like what we're saying, it's a lifestyle and it's sustainable. But after a certain point in time, you can, maybe you have, pizza that's a homemade crust or something that's has maybe some gluten in it, but you're like, if I'm going to Italy, I'm going to have pizza.
Sure.
But I'm not going to be just picking the toppings off. I'll be honest, I'm going to have a pizza.
And right.
I think it's, you know, it's being, staying with your foods that you're not reactive to, I think is really important. Those inflammatory foods, as we often cut out the soy and the corn and gluten and peanuts, we often are sensitive to, and having those refined sugars, vegetable oils. Yeah, I'm going to always stay away from those.
Right.
And it's just, I think changing that mindset is just, this makes me feel good. This way of eating makes me happy.
Right. It switches it from being a diet where you're like, oh, I can't eat that because it doesn't fit my diet plan, to, oh, well, I don't really want that because I know I'm not going to feel very good when I get done eating that. So I don't think it's really worth it. I'm going to have this instead or whatever. So I think that's a really big change. So tell me a little bit about, so you're an endurance athlete and you've been at this for quite some time. So how do you feel, about the people that say that you can't do keto and be an endurance athlete, or that you're not going to be as good or as fast or be able to do triathlons and Ironman, which I know you do. So how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, it's funny that I started doing Ironmans 2001. I did 15 Ironmans, and towards the end of 2012 is when I had to stop because my fatigue health issues started in 2013. So I just started doing more low carb back and doing UCAN. It's a slow release fuel and a fast workouts. Kind of around 2005, 2009, I started really doing more fasted workouts and realizing, okay, I figured it out by myself, because when I started training, I remember teaching spin class and going for a bike ride, and I would have the typical healthy, air quotes, bagel and banana and orange juice. And I'm like, how come I'm not losing weight? Mm-hmm. I'm doing all this endurance workouts. And I was training for Seattle to Portland, this bike ride that we have, that's 200 miles one day. And that's when it kind of started. It's like, I don't get it. So one day I tried, I'm not going to eat anything. So I went from spin class, just had water, and then went to meet people for this long bike ride. And I totally bonked. You know, I had nothing in the tank because I was a carb burner. Mm-hmm. And so that was like before, like 98. It was so long ago. So I started always wondering, like, why am I supposed to have 3,500 calories an hour as an endurance athlete when I have fat on my body to burn? So I started just experimenting on my own by not eating. And that wasn't, as I said, good right away. But just if you think outside the box, I don't understand how people still think that way. That's like, why do you need to eat so much if you have fat to burn?
And
if you read,
available.
Yeah. And that's the whole metabolic efficiency and Volek and Finney. And Dr. Maffetone talked about years ago that, all right, you have, say, 2,000 calories of stored glycogen in your muscles. You have 40,000 to 80,000 stored fat calories. Do the math. It's like, I still don't understand why people don't understand that and still try to do the high-carb diet. So when I go to Ironman Hawaii this year, I am putting on a seminar kind of meetup with Dr. Paul Larson. He's called the Prof, who works with this other guy, Daniel Plews, out of New Zealand, that talk about the fat-adapted athlete. They do a lot of research. So they have the science behind doing low-carb, high-fat, and metabolic efficiency for athletes. But, you know, just, yeah, it's just so different when you're doing endurance sport, when you have to go like an Ironman 10, 15, 17 hours that, right, do you think you're really going to be burning carbs that whole time and be able to make it? You're going to have to eat a crap load of sugar and gels to keep going
while you're
yeah, go in the bathroom every hour and having GI distress. You know, it's just easier too, not to eat as much and this be able to just have your body running on fat fuel. I just really want to get the message across to people, but I think it's challenging because there's so much, you know, that political nutrition and the marketing and the magazines and the people's sponsors, you know, it's really hard to get crossed over them. It's like fighting with someone's doctor about, you know, a ketogenic diet versus eating those high carbs.
Yes, absolutely. So do you, when you're working with other athletes, do you see athletes that need to have a little higher carb intake? You know, do you, because I know there's a lot of, especially with women, there's a lot of discussion about how we need some carbohydrates. We need more carbohydrates than what the ketogenic diet allows. And that's kind of the argument. And then specifically if you're a woman athlete. So talk to me about that. Do you see that or like kind of where do you land on that?
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I'm closing my fitness studio after 12 years and doing this full time starting in October. And I think because it's such an important area to dive into. And the answer is always when we podcast is, it depends.
Right.
And there isn't. And I mean, there's, you know, how many carbs should you take? It's that carb tolerance. And some athletes can do 100 grams a day to 200 grams and still be burning, showing ketones. So I'm putting together some blogs and some podcasts myself with Keto Mojo guys. They've done a lot of research and on endurance athletes. And I think my answer would be you have to test. I like Keto Mojo because you can do the glucose and the ketones and we just have to experiment. So I have my clients get something as a Keto Mojo and let's figuring out with your own innate intelligence. I did some podcasts with Peter Defty and Zach Bitter, who's like amazing ultra runner and just won record time of, I don't know, some crazy 100-mile race, but he is low carb, high fat. And it's just amazing how you can push your body, but you can't compare yourself to Zach Bitter or, you know, this other guy I interviewed who won Ironman Hawaii in 2012, he's switching to more of a carnivore diet and he's training for half Ironman and Ironmans because he has a lot of GI problems and he found carnivore works for him and doing these fasted workouts. He can go do a half Ironman triathlon on water with sea salt in it. And so answer is it depends and everybody's different. I think it's just working with that client individually. As Peter Defty says, it's finding your innate intelligence. Like we talk about nutritional therapy to figure out, all right, I don't feel good. I feel great. Or that workout was great. I mean, you can just, you have to experiment. And that's why I like people to do this in the off season. So fall, winter, most people don't race as much. It's a good time to teach your body how to become more fat adapted and work on your lifestyle habits, because we still need to work on that stress and getting your sleep, because your recovery, repair, and your gut health and detoxifications. We talk a lot about nutritional therapy, and FDN is so essential. And I think working on all that is important to figure out, all right, here's how many carbs I can tolerate, and I'm still feeling great. My workouts are showing this numbers, my speed's getting up. So you can do a lot of kind of biohacking with your Garmin and power and speed running and biking and get all that information.
Yeah, I think that's great. And it's, I do totally agree with you, obviously, that it's very individual, and that we need to remember that. And I think a lot of times we are looking for somebody to tell us what to do exactly. Mm-hmm. Tell me what to eat. Yeah. Tell me when to work out. Tell me how long to work out. Tell me what pill to take. Tell me exactly what supplements I need. And there's really no answer like that. Nobody can tell you that.
No, it's a starting point. Like, you can say, here, let's start with 50 grams and then let's kind of up it from there and let's kind of track. That's why for athletes, they're usually type A to triple A. So they're really good at tracking. So using Training Peaks is what we do. Most people do for athletes, and using a Garmin watch where you get all your data and you upload it, and people are into heart rate variability testing and even the Aura ring, and you can collect all this data. So we can kind of see, all right, your performance has gone down, and so we need to up your carbs from there. But I think a lot of it is teaching people which carbohydrates are good to use, because, you know, there's so many bars and gels and junk out there that are processed foods, refined sugars and vegetable oils, that you have to really find what is a clean source of protein, like having a sweet potato with some butter on it, or, you know, finding different things that work for you, but not having the gluten and, you know, not having bagels and toast. And so that's, I think that's a big area to look at. Like, what can I eat? If I need a little more carbs, what are some good options for me, is kind of more of a area of opportunity to look into. It's like, what are some good carb sources for athletes if you need to up your carbs a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. How do you feel about, so you're talking about your own journey with your kind of healing and rebuilding yourself with the kind of the fatigue and this type of thing that you've been dealing with some HPA axis dysregulation. How do you feel about how your diet now or then plays into that?
You know, what's helped me a lot this year is fasting, the intermittent fasting. I think a lot of my healing, and when I tell people to heal and rebuild, it's more self-healing, because we can't heal you. We're not healers. And so I always try to make sure I say that to people. It's like an FDN, and we don't treat, it's a self-treat program. So you're teaching people, here are the tools to do this on your own.
Yes.
For me, fasting, intermittent fasting this year has finally, I think, really made me feel better, and working on, you know, 16 to 20 hour fast, depending on the day during the week, it works for me, because it's just easier not to eat when I'm working. And then I can, you know, and I'm fat adapted, so-called, so I can go for an easy run walk with a client, and I can go swimming and do all this kind of aerobic workout that I cannot eat my one meal a day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because I don't have kids to feed and a family to, you know, do a 6 o'clock dinner or something. So it's easier to have a late lunch, early dinner, and then easily stop eating after that and just wait the next day. So for me, healing my body, the fasting, I think, is the biggest difference. I also have changed my lifestyle. So not nutrition, answer your question, but my schedule is not as crazy. And, you know, I just had an interview with Jimmy Moore, and I always think this, like, when you're not busy, like Fridays, we're recording, we're both like, seem to be Fridays are recording days and our meeting days and stay at home. And it's weird not going to my studio and having clients when my other trainers are training clients. You kind of feel like a failure. It's like, oh my gosh, I suck. I don't have any business today. But I think it's taking care of yourself. And I always say, put the oxygen mask on first and help heal your own self by changing, you know, what you eat, but also your schedule. Because my thing is, life is not a race, it's a journey. And racing from the time we wake up in the morning and have a busy day and not stop till we go to bed at night. To do that, I practice what I preach as much as possible, that I take little breaks and have little recalibrate, you know, how you control, alternate, delete on your computer and reset it, reboot it. So I think of that as resetting and rebooting the whole athlete, that for me, it's not just nutrition and fasting, but it's also changing my day-to-day routine and lifestyle, because I'm usually could go nonstop, but I think it's that, you know, avoiding burnout and breaking yourself down is because of all of that together.
Yes. So I need you to start coaching me. No, I would like to start tomorrow, please.
Yes.
I'm totally on board with you. And I actually have been working very hard to get myself to take my own advice. And the wonderful advice you just gave is exactly right. And I know I have a tendency to get up in the morning and I don't stop till I hit the bed at night. I'm so exhausted that I'm, you know, just
pass out in bed
out immediately. And that's, but it's because I try to pack everything in and just run from one thing to the next thing. And then of course fires pop up, right? So then you're putting out those fires on top of what you already had scheduled, which was probably already overbooked. So, and that, I think that's a society that we live in, and people don't give that enough credence. Yeah. They don't realize that, like you had said earlier, your diet can be pristine, but if you're just running around like a chicken with your head cut off all day, every day, you can only do that for so long.
Yeah.
And things get out.
Yeah. And that's what we say, you know, in nutritional therapy, we learned this as well, but in Reed Davis, the founder of FDA and created the word metabolic chaos instead of HPA axis dysregulation. But I just pulling up the screen, the physiological aspects of metabolic chaos or HPA dysregulation. It's the whole, you know, that chart that we used to get in class, but it's just how it impacts your hormones, your thyroid, your neural tissue health. So brain fog, cloudy thinking, quality sleep and mood, your motility issues, connective tissue, bone turnover. I mean, just the list goes on. Glucose homeostasis, which is my big thing. I became insulin resistant, not because I was low carb keto, right, but I was insulin resistant from my stress every day. Mm-hmm. Just inflammation, immune system, heavy metals, your weight, protein. I mean, just all these things happen. So that's why, yes, you know, we work on everything. And I think that's a big thing is learning that, you know, I might be doing keto, but am I running around with my head cut off?
Yeah.
And I think that's my big message is everyone's talking about keto, but I think my goal should be to talk more about this, the other side. It's like, if you're not working on the lifestyle changes, good luck with that.
I love this. I love that you're on here talking about this, and I could talk to you all day about this stuff. I could not be more on board with you. Honestly, I could not agree with you more. I think it's 100%. And I mean, I see that in myself. Like, I'm preaching to the choir here. Like, I am talking to myself, because I very much have fallen into that, and I'll get really good about about things. I'm like, okay, I got it under control now. I'm writing in my gratitude journal every night. I'm meditating every morning. I'm going to bed on time. My food, my intake, my nutrition, it is down. I'm in the sauna every other day, and then all of a sudden something happens, and then it's like 2 weeks of chaos, and I feel it. I feel it. I feel like my nutrition may stay on point, but these things start falling away. Like, I didn't have time to meditate for like the last 6 days in a row. And I didn't write my gratitude journal for the last 3 days in a row. And I haven't been getting to bed on time because I've just been too busy. There's been too much to do. And then you just start seeing things slowly rattling and kind of coming apart. And then I start feeling it. Like, I don't feel good, and I get meaner.
Well, so what I hear you saying is that you're trying to do too much, right? So more is not better. Less is sometimes more. So if you set your goals, maybe you're setting the standards up too high that you're trying to do this stuff every day. It doesn't work, right? You've got all these kids to worry about. You've got business of your own. You've got so much going on. And this is example, because most people are like this, right? They're trying to do this, juggle family life, juggle your own business or going to work, and your relationship with your husband and having life be fun. And I think, to me, trying to write my gratitude journal every night, I never keep with it. You know, I do November, gratitude month, do it every day. Well, and then I quit. So why don't we just look at it? It's like, if I get 3 days in this week of the gratitude journal, if I get in the infrared once, mm-hmm. I'm great. You know, and just change those goals so we don't have these high standards that if we don't do it, we don't do it at all. So it's not the all or nothing approach. So if we just do a little bit of something is better than nothing. But I think we all try to do it all at once and then we just quit and it gets too overwhelming. So I think just as we said earlier is just pick your top three and or to say, you know, let's not try to do it every day. Let's set my goal a little lower number.
Yeah, I think that is such great advice and definitely falls into where I think we all have been there or heard someone say, you know, well, I fell off the wagon, so I'll start back on Monday, right? Yes. You're like, I've already failed. I'm just going to throw the whole day out or the whole weekend out the window. And it kind of goes back to that line of thinking. It's like, well, we don't have to do everything perfect all the time. Do the best you can do.
Yeah.
And, just stick with it. Just keep inching towards your goal one day at a time.
And I know. I think that's with the meditation though and gratitude journal and even the infrared sauna because that's coming to my house because I'm closing my studio and guess what I'm keeping? My sunlight and infrared.
So I had my infrared sauna where I was having my clients come and be able to use it. That was like the worst 6 months of my life. It's now back in my house and I'm like, I'm going to get another one for my office. But I hated it because I didn't like going to the office to have to use it. Being able to get up and use it when you want or use it at night before you go to however you want to do it. Oh my gosh, Debbie, it's going to change your life.
I know. Well, I don't use it ever because I'm at my studio and I want to leave. I don't want to stay there. So I'm excited to take it back and have it here. So I think it's just, you know, we just need to be kinder to ourselves and we are so, especially if you're type A overachievers as we are, that we have to, you know, just be forgiving. And you say that, you know, to be a role model and practice what we preach, but I've been working on this since 2013 when I came apart. And what my goal is to help people, because I'm finally getting better. It's 2019. So it wasn't just like that. I've learned the hard way. And that's why I feel like it's my purpose. I had this happen to me on purpose to help educate other people that you can take one step forward, two steps back. Obviously I did that because it's 2019 and I'm finally feeling better. Mm-hmm. But you keep pushing the envelope or asking yourself to do too much. I mean, I've had to completely change my schedule and cut things out and rearrange my life to heal myself. But I think it is the challenge people do is that they just work on nutrition, but that's the first step. And then let's work on mixing up your lifestyle and adding some more self-care activities in there. And I think people feel guilty for stopping and taking a break or taking a nap. You know, they're like, oh my God, I'm so pathetic.
I know, but you know, it's the truth. And I know this, and I'm talking to you about this right now. But that is exactly like I am embarrassed, which this is the confession time, right? I'm just going to confess everything to you, Debbie, and the thousands of listeners. I get embarrassed to tell someone that I took a break. Or like I rarely can sleep during the day. It's just I just can't fall asleep. I wish I could take naps, but like if I want to sit down and read in a book, or God forbid, I want to watch a show in the middle of the day. Like I have no children around. I'm like, you know, if I have a half hour or an hour to do that, I guilt myself out of doing that. And if I do it, I'm embarrassed. Like I don't want my husband to know that I did it. Like I always
closet eating or closet TV watching.
Yes. Like I start feeling a little bit like, I feel like guilty. Like why? I shouldn't have done that. And then I'm like embarrassed to tell him. And then I feel guilty that I didn't tell him. Like I'm hiding something from him. It's a freaking TV show.
Days of Our Lives.
Oh my gosh. I used to love that. I could probably turn it on today and I would not have missed a thing.
I know it is, but I think of it as, is part of that self-healing program protocol that you have to do for yourself. And it's recalibrating. Yeah. Recalibrating the whole you from the inside out. So if you don't, you know, stop, even if it's taking three breaths in and out and just slowing down, I just always think we have to do that because it's so easy to get wrapped into a packed day and you don't have any pauses in between then. That's, you know, you can go for a couple of years and feel great and have your cortisol levels being elevated because you have that high, that natural anti-inflammatory, and having that adrenaline that you're living off of that. Well, that's what I probably did for years until 2013. I was nothing. I had no energy. I was suddenly gaining 30 pounds. I was not sleeping. I was depressed. I was upset and I was emotional. And it didn't just happen overnight. It happened for years. And that's what I tried to write my book, Life is on a Race, was more of a healing program for me to go, okay, where the heck did this come from? You know, I'm just on a bike ride one day and suddenly I can't pedal and I'm a good, strong cyclist. I don't understand. But then I went back, way back in high school and look at all these, like, where did this come from? And it accumulates. But that's what you have to do for your own self, like create your own timeline and go, all right, you know, I'm doing this. But if you keep that up, you're going to be, we break ourselves down. So my goal is to teach people avoid being that burnout and breakdown, because you might feel great and thriving now, but you may be having those hormones being elevated, just gradually creating that internal blow up. So you're going to have that volcanic eruption and have everything be dysfunctional. Like I had parasite, H. pylori, I have different stuff, you know, my leaky gut, it wasn't coming from my nutrition. Right. So that's what I think we need to stress to people is nutritional therapy is essential. So have proper digestion, have those minerals, have blood sugar regulation. Even if you're on a ketogenic diet, it's those other factors that we need to spread the message on.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And that's definitely one of my favorite topics is digestion. Yeah. And, but people do think they hear digestion and they think, oh, it's food. It's related to food. Like it's what I'm eating and all this. And it's so much not. It's like you're saying, what you said earlier, like if you're sitting down and, or you're not even sitting down, you're driving and you're just shoveling food in between something else, whatever, you're not focused on digestion. You're not in that rest and digest mode. You can just create all kinds of issues, low hydrochloric acid production, low bile flow. I mean, we can have all kinds of things that actually end up making the ketogenic diet probably about the worst thing that you could be doing. So
what's your take on digested? Like a lot of people say you don't need HCL supplements, digestive enzymes. So do you feel, because I'm, you know, coming from nutritional therapy, feel like everybody needs supplementation when they're eating. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I can tell you that for me individually, I take hydrochloric acid and I take digestive enzymes and I take a gallbladder supplement. But I also have been, much like you're talking about, kind of working on yourself since 2013, I have been working on myself for several years now with my digestion. Like that's been my, that's to me is like the red flag, right? That I'm running myself into the ground. That was the red flag for me. Like, okay, digestion's screwed up. And honestly, for most people, probably the things that I'm dealing with are not, they'd be like, that's fine. Like, what's the big deal? Like, I don't have massive heartburn or anything like that. I don't really have a lot of motility issues. I'm not having like stomach aches. I'm not having nausea. It's not stuff like that, but it's maybe more things that like the trained eye, I'm like, this isn't normal. Like I should be doing better than this. I know I have candida overgrowth because I did have some functional lab tests done and I know I have that. So things like that I know are going on and I know that should not be present. So I know my HCL's down. So there's just things like that. So I actually, there's very few clients that I see that I don't think need help with digestion. I mean, honestly. So I think if you, I guess that where I see it being an issue is, I don't necessarily think that maybe you have to have digestive supplementation forever. If you can get, if you can start getting those nutrients out of your food, that you can start producing your own hydrochloric acid properly. But I think for me, the biggest issue is I can't even glean those nutrients out of my food because I'm not breaking it down well enough to do it. So if I don't support my system, how am I ever going to be able to get it back on track? So that's kind of how I look at it. But, and there's a lot of, I was listening to actually Dave Asprey. I was listening to one of his podcasts. I think it was a fairly recent one, listening to some studies that are going on with taking digestive enzymes and just kind of enzyme supplementation in general and some of that stuff. So some of that's kind of fascinating to me as well, and like how it's treating the whole body, not just digestion. But anyway, so I kind of fascinated by that stuff. But how do you feel about digestive support?
Well, that's what I wish I could do. Nutritional therapy, we've done the functional evaluation you probably have talked about before, the hands-on part. And I think that's so fascinating, but you can't do it online to people if you're coaching online. So that's why I think the functional labs are important. But what I find, if people are familiar with, you know, the palpating, the different points that we do in nutritional therapy functional exam, is so fascinating. It's like my HCL supplement or point is amazing to me because, you know, you measure it, you number 1 to 10, the pancreatic enzymes, and that kind of stuff you can't do in lab tests as much, right? So is that the functional evaluation of nutritional therapy, if you can meet with a practitioner live, is so amazing to me to get that feedback from your body. But and to be able to test supplements on someone's body to know what works. Because as I've said in my book and my journey is like, every time I saw somebody, they would get lab results, give me supplements. Well, nutritional therapy, we can find which ones work best on your body. And that to me is like, oh my gosh, I know this was just a 10 and you put my supplement on my tongue or muscle tested me. And now it's like a 2. How is that possible? So to get that feedback from your body to know, am I taking these supplements that do anything, is a huge takeaway. Because I wasted, and I know a lot of clients wasted a ton of money on buying all this stuff because they read something, listened to Dave Asprey, listened to some show, and they ordered this package of supplements. Well, if you can meet with a nutritional therapy practitioner or someone does that muscle testing, kinesiology, they do the muscle testing as well to find, does this actually make a difference in my body?
Yes.
To me, that's huge because I think we waste a lot of money on supplements.
We do. And it goes back to the individual, right? Like it's the same idea. Like we're all individual and everything that I do isn't necessarily going to work for you or for the next person. Or so I think that's definitely a big part of it. So, so can you tell me or tell the listeners a little bit about where they can find you, get more information about you, your programs that you're going to be offering or that you are offering, like where can they find all that good stuff?
Well, it's easy. Debbie Potts is my name. That's the website. It's debbiepotts.net. I'm going to find who has .com because you can find them out. .net is what I had to get. So that's where I have everything on there. On Instagram, it's Low Carb Athlete. And Facebook, I started a Low Carb Athlete page on there that I put some articles that I find as I research different things and do for my podcast. And the podcast is The Whole Athlete, WHOLE.
Wow. Well, I'm really glad that you guys got all that information from Debbie. And I'm sorry that the interview cut off right there where she was giving us all of her information. Luckily, she was able to give us the information that she wanted, but for some weird reason, my recording didn't catch the last like minute and 30 seconds of our discussion. So no worries though, if you want to catch the last few minutes of it, it did record through the video portion. So that will be my YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel yet, and I wouldn't blame you because it's mediocre at best. Actually, it's not even mediocre. That's not even a proper description. It's terrible, honestly. But it's getting better. I'm trying to make it better. I know you guys want that content and I'm trying to get it out there. But I am at least most of my interviews now going forward on the podcast will also be recorded in a video form. So you can shoot over to my YouTube channel anytime you want just to see what the interview, what the person looks like that I'm interviewing, or if you want to watch it in person, you know, maybe sometimes people enjoy that better. There's nothing nothing really all that exciting. It's usually the two of us sitting in front of each of us in front of each of our respective computers, talking to each other through a Zoom account. So it's a not super exciting way to watch a video, but that is available if you'd like to go there and watch it. And you can catch that last like minute or so or 30 seconds of our conversation. But Debbie was awesome. I hope you guys got so much out of that interview. And I really look forward to talking to you guys and sharing with you guys again next week. Until then, have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Keto Lifestyle Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed what we shared with you today and are looking forward to the next episode.